Imagine waking up tomorrow to discover an algorithm has determined you're unfit for your job, denied your loan application, or marked you as a criminal risk, all without explanation or appeal. This isn't science fiction. It's the reality exposed in Weapons of Math Destruction. These mathematical models wield extraordinary power while remaining largely unaccountable, affecting everything from who gets hired to who goes to jail. Consider Sarah Wysocki, a dedicated teacher fired because an algorithm deemed her ineffective. Despite glowing reviews from parents and her principal, she was terminated when the model detected a decline in test scores, failing to account for the fact that her students' previous scores had been artificially inflated through cheating. When Sarah asked how the algorithm reached its conclusion, she was essentially told, "The numbers don't lie." But numbers, divorced from context and human judgment, often tell incomplete stories. This pattern repeats across institutions. In criminal justice, recidivism models transform complex human histories into risk scores that determine sentencing. These models often incorporate factors like zip code and family criminal history, variables that correlate strongly with race and socioeconomic status. The result? A veneer of mathematical objectivity masking the same biases we've struggled with for generations. Three key characteristics transform mathematical models into weapons of math destruction, WMDs, opacity, scale, and damage. Opacity refers to hidden inner workings. Unlike transparent systems like baseball statistics, WMDs operate behind claims of proprietary algorithms, concealing their methods and potential flaws. Scale measures a model's reach and impact. While a flawed model at a small business causes limited harm, widespread deployment can create systemic problems. The U.S. News College rankings demonstrate this. One magazine's methodology became higher education's defining standard. Damage occurs when models harm individuals without feedback mechanisms for correction. Take Sarah Wysocki's firing. The model continued using its flawed methodology without learning from mistakes, perpetuating cycles of injustice. The 2008 financial crisis exemplifies these elements working together. Opaque credit rating models, operating at massive scale, caused widespread damage by underestimating risk. Consider how U.S. News & World Report transformed American higher education through its college rankings. What began in 1988 as a simple list became the definitive measure of institutional quality, despite using crude proxies like alumni donation rates and peer reputation surveys. As the rankings gained influence, colleges began reshaping their policies to climb the list. They rejected qualified students to appear more selective. They diverted money from need-based financial aid to merit scholarships that would attract high-scoring students. Some even submitted false data. Claremont McKenna, Emory, and other prestigious institutions admitted to manipulating statistics to improve their standings. The rankings created a powerful feedback loop. Schools that performed well received more applications, allowing them to become more selective, which improved their rankings further. Those at the bottom faced declining applications and resources, making improvement nearly impossible. This pattern extends beyond education. For-profit colleges target vulnerable populations through sophisticated advertising algorithms. These systems identify individuals at their most desperate moments, recently divorced, unemployed, or facing financial hardship, and bombard them with promises of better futures through education. Corinthian College exemplified this predatory approach, spending more on marketing than on actual instruction before collapsing amid fraud allegations. In Reading, Pennsylvania, once a manufacturing hub, now facing 41% poverty rates, the police department turned to PredPol, software that predicts where crimes will occur. The program analyzes historical crime data and directs officers to potential hotspots, ostensibly to prevent crimes before they happen. But this creates a pernicious feedback loop. Police are sent to neighborhoods where crimes have been reported in the past, typically low-income areas with higher minority populations. More police presence leads to more arrests, often for minor offenses like marijuana possession that might go unnoticed in wealthier neighborhoods. These arrests generate more data points, which the algorithm interprets as confirmation that these areas are indeed high crime, directing even more police there. The model doesn't account for unreported crimes in wealthy neighborhoods or the socioeconomic factors driving crime rates. It simply processes historical data and reproduces existing patterns of enforcement, all while claiming mathematical objectivity. This mirrors New York City's experience with stop and frisk policies, which disproportionately targeted Black and Latino young men. When challenged in court, the NYPD defended the practice by pointing to crime statistics, statistics generated by the very same biased enforcement patterns. Kyle Bem, a college student managing bipolar disorder, was rejected from Kroger and six other companies, not due to qualifications, but because of personality test results. This highlights a broader issue with modern employment screening algorithms, which now span industries using various tools to predict candidate fit, from resume scanning to social media analysis. These systems often perpetuate discrimination through proxies correlated with race, gender, age, and socioeconomic status. St. George's Medical School demonstrated this when their 1970s admissions algorithm, trained on historical data, began rejecting qualified women and candidates with non-European names, simply reflecting past discriminatory practices. Some progress is being made. Xerox identified and removed distance from work as a hiring criterion after realizing it disadvantaged poorer applicants living farther away. This shows how algorithmic bias can be addressed when recognized and actively corrected. Insurance began as a communal safety net, but big data is transforming it from protection to prediction, with algorithms mining personal data to forecast individual risk precisely. Auto insurers now offer telematics programs with monitoring devices that track driving patterns for discounts. While appearing fair, these systems often disadvantage those working night shifts or in high-traffic areas with poor infrastructure. Health insurance companies have turned corporate wellness programs into surveillance systems, tracking everything from step counts to genetic data. Though framed as voluntary, these programs often use financial penalties to drive participation. While the Affordable Care Act banned discrimination based on pre-existing conditions, insurers now use indirect data points, like shopping patterns and social media, to identify potentially costly customers without explicitly referencing medical conditions. Data and algorithms can be beneficial when designed with fairness and transparency, helping solve complex problems while reducing human bias. Organizations like the Web Transparency and Accountability Project and ProPublica are pioneering ethical data science by investigating algorithmic bias. Meanwhile, data scientists are pushing for professional ethical standards similar to medicine's Hippocratic Oath. Regulatory frameworks like the Fair Credit Reporting Act offer models for algorithmic oversight, requiring transparency and data usage limits. Positive algorithmic applications differ from WDs by being transparent, incorporating human judgment, and aiming to help rather than punish. Mathematical models reflect human values and priorities. By subjecting them to democratic scrutiny, we can harness data for human progress rather than control. The challenge isn't avoiding algorithms, but ensuring they serve our aspirations for justice and dignity.